okay.
Now watch me whip, watch me nay nay.
Why me do it?
Now watch me whip,
kill it.
Watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip, watch me nay nay.
Can you do it?
Now watch me, ooh, watch yeah. me, watch me, ooh, watch yeah. me, watch me, ooh, watch yeah. me, watch me.
Hi guys, it's DJ Anita B here, and before we get into this week's podcast, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of our sponsors, because you know, they're so important to keeping House of Mimosa, the podcast, going. Now, we gotta say a big thanks to our friends over at the podcast, Grizzly Kiki. If you haven't subscribed to them yet, please do so. They're Grizzly Kiki. Just search for them on iTunes. They're doing such a fabulous job at keeping this oral history on drag queens and nightlife performers in New York City. It's so interesting, so fun. Go check them out. Next up is my favorite iPhone app, which is also available on Androids. It's Drag My City. Now, the Drag My City app is a great app for drag queens and fans of drag queens. Drag queens can create their profile, post where they're going to be performing, post what social networks they belong to and what links their fans should check out, and their fans can follow them right along. It's fan-frickin-tastic. And of course, our big sponsor every week, Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. That's H-O-M for House of Mimosa. Stupid idiots. And you can choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download any title free and start listening. It's really that easy. audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. And finally, a big shout out to Bible Girl and everyone over at DragQueenMerch.com. Go on over to DragQueenMerch.com and get yourself some House of Mimosa merchandise, along with some Anita Buffa merchandise. That's right, I've designed my own t-shirt line and merchandise line along with DragQueenMerch.com. They've been wonderful to work with. Go on over there and check out my t-shirts, tank tops, pocketbooks. I've even got fake nail sets you can get for $12. $12 for two sets of nails with my face on them. Can you stand it? You know me, Anita Buff. I'm always looking out for the pores. All right, now let's get to this week's episode featuring super special guest star, Mila Jam. Hi, guys. This is Travis.
And this is Steven.
And you're listening to the House of Mimosa podcast. And we're so excited. Normally, we bring you, like, quick-ish guest segments, but this guest is so big and so special that we wanted to have her for the entire episode. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mila Jam. Recording artist, entertainer extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire.
What's up, Jam fans? This is Mila Jam. Hey.
Now, if you don't know Mila Jam, please check out Mila Jam on iTunes. She has so many great singles. Do you have a full album?
I don't have an album, actually. I have singles, and, you know, that's that kind of the next step. We'll see.
Uh-huh.
But the your iTunes, just search Mila Jam. The music is there. There's lots of remixes.
Well, we're going to be playing some throughout, so you guys will hear some stuff. But I have to tell you, you are special to me for so many reasons. Number one, whenever I hear your name, I always think about when I moved to New York years ago, because I feel, maybe I'm wrong, but for me, just discovering you, it felt like you were kind of just starting in the scene, and like, and I would see you performing out at the clubs, and I'm like, yes, girl,
and bringing
it, and bringing it.
The dancing, the performing,
yes.
The singing.
And you have grown so much, not only as a performer, obviously, as you would, but as a brand,
oh,
as a businesswoman,
yes.
And so nice. When we see you out at gigs, when we're gigging together, what did we just do? Stage 48, we did something.
Yeah, we did an event for that.
For the AIDS walk, right?
Yes. AIDS walk pep rally, yeah.
And
with Bianca Del Rio.
Both of us, very focused, getting ready to do what we had to do, but still, you made time for a smile and a hug, and
always
like
warm.
Just so warm, and
we don't
always find that in this business, so thank you for that, because we feel a little bit like we're outsiders.
Well, you've always been so sweet to me, so I return the favor.
Yes, girl. Well, good, because then we can get catty with each other, too.
But it's all in good fun.
And all in play.
Okay, so you grew up in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little about your move to New York.
Okay. So I moved to New York right out of high school.
Good for you.
I am 6 years old still, but I moved out of New York to I moved from Columbus, Georgia, which is a small town that people don't really know about. It's an hour and a half from outside of Atlanta. And I usually say Atlanta, but I figure, you know what? Columbus needs some love.
Yeah.
So Columbus, Georgia, I moved to New York. I went to theater school, which was the poor man's Juilliard.
We know it.
Yes, we do.
Should I say the name?
That's how I met you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I went to a wonderful growing platform school that allowed me to learn more about the art of musical theater and entertainment.
Now, was that your... Was Broadway your
Broadway
goal?
Was sort of my goal. Yeah, it was the projection of I'm a big theater kid. So I was grew up in the theater, and I always wanted to do musical theater was my passion. And I subconsciously, honestly knew I wanted to do music, but I was trying to find my path into how does that come about? How do I get to that point? But the closest thing to me was theater. So regional theater and then, in high school theater
was
my thing.
I wanted to do pop. I wanted to do recording artist. Yeah.
So I came to New York to do theater, and I graduated, and I started to just really get out there and doing a lot of regional theater pieces. And then one day I was cast for the national tour of Rent.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of people know I did Rent on the road for about 4 years.
Wow.
4 years. Off and on.
That's a long time.
Uh-huh. It's a show that changed my life in so many ways. And I got to travel the world doing the show. And I realized as I traveled, I just felt like I needed to really find more of who I was and what I wanted to contribute to the world in terms of art. And I kind of came back to the States thinking I didn't want to just be an ensemble player.
Right.
I didn't want to just be in.
Because you're a star, honey. You're a star.
I am a star.
Yes.
I was born this way.
Yeah.
And so I found out that I just needed to start figuring out how that's going to come about. So I started writing when I was in Rent. I've been writing music for years since I was in high school. But I really started focusing more on let me keep something that I can write out experiences with and just whatnot. So I write, and then I would meet people along the way, and I'd always do the whole I'm a singer. It's enough until it isn't enough, because you can tell people all day you're a singer.
Until you're blue.
But what are you really doing about it?
Right.
What are you really working on? How are you really manifesting that?
And I'm so glad you're saying that, because we like to have a message on our podcast here, and I'm sorry to our listeners because I say it every time. I forget to tell our guests before they're here, on giving a little bit of a lesson to our listeners on your path and how you made things happen for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's totally true. You can say you're a singer all day long, but until you're putting that work in, right?
You
so I'm interested
really
to hear about
that.
What your work is.
So the work was, doing the things that matter the most, I believe, as an artistic person, is when the lights are out and when no one sees you.
Uh-huh.
So when you're home alone or you're in your room, and it doesn't really even matter if you don't have money or whatever, it's you have to start with you.
Right.
And I think the point is, life in general, for who you are, what you want to do, you start with you at the bare minimum and the bare essentials. So I was just writing and visualizing and dreaming and thinking about what I wanted. And I got back to New York. And I stopped doing theater because I found a way to get attention. And putting some of my theatrics to work, I created a character, Brittany Houston.
Which became
honestly a viral video success, a YouTube sensation.
Yeah.
Before it became a trend.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Some
and
of
I
it.
Feel like I was
which
in the
a blessing
forefront
and a curse.
Of that.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's I started doing these music video pop parodies.
Right.
And I thought, what's relatable to people who don't know me? Well, I'm funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's take something that people are aware of and spin it and make it into my own little kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the video in the first video that actually got attention. Some people think was lip gloss.
Oh, it's not.
It's not lip gloss. It was a video I did called Flaws and All by Beyonce.
Okay.
When she did her Deja Vu album or something like that. So anyways, I did Flaws and All, and it was on PerezHilton.com, and a friend called me and was like, oh my God, you're on Perez Hilton. You're famous. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know about that. But because of that video, it got I want to say it was 500,000 views or something,
uh-huh.
just out of nowhere. I was like, I have to do something
right.
that's going to top this. And then it starts the trend.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then I did a Little Mama lip gloss.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that was probably the one that just really did threw it over the edge.
Right.
Like so Perez posted it and a bunch of other people posted it. That was over 1 million views in like 2 weeks. So I was kind of like, oh my God, this is something really cool. And now I'm getting attention that I really want. Let me continue to do this for a while. So then I did like a Rihanna video. And then I did the Lily Allen. I did a Leona Lewis video for Bleeding Love. And then
people say I kind of look
like
a little bit. You kind of look like Leona Lewis.
Leona, you're gorgeous.
She's beautiful. And so are you. Yeah.
So I did this Bleeding Love video, and funny enough, I started getting contacted from big people. I like got contacted by MTV. After a while, they were like, "Oh, we see that you do lots of video parodies. We want to like have you on the show on MTV. We want to do something like a web series with you." So I did this thing that actually never got picked up. It was called it was on MTV, it was gonna be online, and it was called MTV Musical.
Okay.
And it was starring me and a bunch of dancers of my dancers doing like little excerpts from the like, video clips and stuff like that. It didn't get picked up, unfortunately. But because of that, I got like a spotlight on MTV News doing a Pussycat Dolls video.
Yes.
Which was the Britney Cat Dolls.
Oh, so I love that video.
I won't forget. Like, this was like 4th of July a few years back, and it was literally like I'm watching MTV, and they never really told me when and how it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But they were like, we're going to have some MTV cameras follow you around while you're filming. And so then the video was done and out, and then I'm just watching MTV. I think this was like the end of TRL mm-hmm. days.
Uh-huh.
They were like, oh, like now we have, MTV News update. Hey, everybody, this is Brittany Houston. And like, da 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 da. And it was just on TV. And I was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. But because of that, I was contacted by a director who did a Janet Jackson video for feedback. It was actually Vice Magazine contacted me, and they wanted to do something with me and the director of her feedback video, where they wanted to do like a compare and contrast. Allegedly, I know dancers who dance for Janet, and they would tell me they showed her the videos, and she would just be like, "I love this. This is so great. I love you, Janet." And so she's like my spirit animal. But then, like, I did the Lily Allen show in London, with Mark Ronson, which is probably
amazing.
The coolest thing that I did at that point. And I knew when that happened, there was something there I was like, I can't just ignore. But the problem was, I just knew that I wasn't being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't being authentic with who I wanted the world to know who I was and mm-hmm. what I was capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was about being, somewhat gimmicky, somewhat, this is acceptable and this is what people want. They want to see us being funny.
But you were doing that character and you want to be taken seriously.
I was doing the character and I wanted
people
to be taken seriously.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, just as much as I would mimic a Beyonce song
or
a Pussycat Doll song.
To know, your Beyonce mimics are probably the best things I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, no one can do it like you.
I love Beyonce. But I just remember feeling like I have so much more to give and contribute to the world
as
my own voice as myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm enough. I've known this my whole life. And so it just kind of went through my journey of only, just self-discovery led me to being like, I can't really be happy unless I'm just being honest and true all the time. I don't want to be a character that is just put on and put off and taken on and taken off. It's like, when you meet me, you get me.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Right.
And like, even if I'm on stage, the persona may be a little more elaborate and lavish, but it's really me. And I really want to bring that to the forefront with, being an artist. It's like, be loving who you are and being truthful to who you are and being authentic. So I did the Lily Allen show. I came back to New York. I was trying to figure out how do I change this all up? Like, what do I do?
Right.
And it really got down to like, things were starting to get important with like YouTube and like advertisements and money
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff. And I was running into rights issues with the music I'm using.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, if you're making getting a lot of hits on like a song that you didn't write or record, you don't write to it, then people start getting, they get annoyed, of course,
right.
The money.
Especially back at that time.
Back at that time,
it was
so
new.
Yeah,
so
no one knew what to do.
Yeah.
I was like, getting hit from YouTube, like being like, you know, if you want to continue to do this, you need to sign this agreement. You need to get this contract. We have to put you here. You have to do this. And I was like, is this really worth me going into this? And do I want my legacy to just be
parodies.
Yes. And I was like, I don't think that's what I want.
No.
I know that's not what I want. So then I literally stopped everything. Just cold turkey. Yeah. I literally stopped. I didn't make another video, and I stopped making videos and promoting the videos. And it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. I think people were still onto what I was doing. I would get requests. I would get people emailing and messaging like, when are you going to make this video? Mm-hmm. And it was around the time when Single Ladies came out that I didn't make any more videos. I got so many requests to do Single Ladies.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it would have been fun. But then I started to see the change in YouTube where everyone started to do it. And I was like, one thing I'm really big on is like, I don't really like doing the same thing everyone else does.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't really just want to be a part of the crowd. I want to be like, I'm a leader type.
You want to be at the forefront.
Know, I want to be at the forefront, but I also want to be me and I want to be comfortable doing that.
Right.
So, you know, I was like,
now you're doing that. You're creating your own music and your own videos, and it's so inspiring. This is what I was going to tell you when you came into the room and we said, let's save it for the podcast, was you're such an inspiration. I think to any performer that, because I consider myself like that as well, where I don't want to wait around for anybody. I don't want to be cast in a show where I'm then directed by somebody else in a piece somebody else wrote. I want to create my own. Mm-hmm. And so it's so inspiring to see you working and doing it. And just creating for the love of creating and not caring that it's not with Mark Ronson or on that level that it might have been at that time. Because while it may commercially may not be at that level, there's something much more fulfilling. And I think that has to feel more successful.
Well, that was part of when I was doing the Mark Ronson thing on the show. I felt like I found some success doing what I was doing. And I said to myself, I was like, you know what, this is possible. I got the excitement that if I can make something happen doing what I've been doing, I can make something happen doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And supposed to affect people in a different way. So I had to go back to the drawing board and start over from scratch. And I was like, if I'm going to be taken seriously, I kind of have to go back to the beginning. And no, you know, people don't really know me as like, outside of the community, the theater community, people outside of the world didn't really know me as like a singer or like a real, I guess, like songwriting artist. And I think people loved what they loved about what I was doing, that it was fun and it was exciting, but it was also good.
Right.
And it was like, you know, I didn't have a great budget, let's be honest, but what I was given, you know, what I had to work with was what I had to work with.
Yeah.
And I was making the best of that. So I just decided that I wanted to be authentic and I wanted to write music and have that put out. So I met this producer who was starting a label. And his name is Kazuhiko Gomi.
Oh yeah.
DJ Gomi.
Yep. And how did you come across, how did you meet him, how did you come across him?
I knew Gomi and I knew each other for a while, for a couple of years actually. We'd seen each other from the scene, from the New York scene. And one day a friend approached me, was like, hey, I think he's going to be putting together like a label and is looking for talent and people to sing, you know, do original music. And I've always wanted to do original music. So I went into his office and we had like a little interview audition. And I brought to him like a bunch of demos and played music for him. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And then it just from then on, it was just like, oh my God, it's great. You have something that we can work with. And I was the first artist that he ever released on his own label. You may not know that. Yeah,
no,
the first
that.
Artist that he ever released my song "Walk."
Uh-huh.
Was the first song he released on his label, Gomi Nation Records. And after that, it was kind of like, what do we do? Like, how do we build this new train?
Well, before you get to after that, why don't we listen to that now?
Great.
Okay, so this is "Walk" by Mila Jam, produced by DJ Gomi.
DJ Gomi. Oh,
walk away from you, you. I don't wanna walk. You're gonna make me walk. I don't wanna walk away from you. I don't wanna walk. You're gonna make me walk. I don't wanna walk away from you, you. I don't wanna walk. You're gonna make me walk. I don't wanna walk away from you. There's magic in your lick and the flag. That's why I give you the eye. Baby can't control us inside. Something is pulling, pulling me to your side. Your attention. Now I'm dancing next to you, romancing. I feel that you got what I like. My body's in a trance and lost to the
Can't get enough. I wanna put that in my earphones.
Don't walk away.
And, yeah.
Don't walk away.
And just prance, girl.
My
That's
friends
what
always
do.
Say that to me. They're like, I don't wanna walk. Don't make me walk.
Don't wanna walk.
And we're taking the subway. We're going to a club. We're like, I don't wanna walk. Don't make me walk. Can we take a Uber? Don't wanna walk.
I wanna talk a little bit about the process of. Okay, so you recorded your own demos,
mm-hmm.
and this was just like at home.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you just like in GarageBand.
I still
did opened
that
up
this day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And that's really what it is. And I think so many people, I mean, myself included, get so self-conscious about really, I don't know how to put it into words, but like, you know, you love your art so much. It's so precious to you that I think for me personally, I can get into
you can kind
holes.
Of sabotage yourself.
Yes.
And yeah, you yeah. have to be careful with that because you can overwhelm yourself with this idea, like this, like, you know, you have like a preconceived notion of how you have to do things and how things should be happening and what this should be working with. And like it comes and goes in waves for me personally, because I've had opportunities to work on large scales with great people in a great atmosphere and a great facility with a lot of tools and a lot of cool things. And then sometimes it's like, you know what, when it's the bare essentials and it's just me, I can't, you know, I can't do that on my own. So I have to go back to square one and do something that's like a smaller scale. But you have to find out, I mean, you can't overwhelm yourself and you have to kind of keep the idea, this is what I do, that as great as you want to be and as great and as I think lavish as you want to be, you have to have the bare, what is the core? And you'll go, I always have to go back to the core. It's like going back to the work, going back to the class, going back to the lessons, going back to the little small version of you that sort of starts everything, because that way you build from that and you go from there. So like, for example, when I make demos for music now, even to this day, it's not a fancy situation.
Right.
It's literally like, I get inspired, I write. Right. I go to my computer, I record.
Right.
I put my ideas down, and I work on that incessantly, right, on my own time frame.
Well, I think remembering, this is sometimes, especially
Stephen, you get,
right.
Yeah.
And I think, Stephen, you can speak about this a little bit. You get caught up in, like, this has to be perfect right away.
And I get that, because, I mean, I'm mostly musical theater trained, so it's very, like, there's always a map for you, mm-hmm, and there's always a specific layout, and this is how it's done. And so you just go in there as a puzzle piece, and you fit this.
What I will say to you, this is a very important, I think, piece of advice. Because we live in a time where the internet is so invasive and everything we see around us is so accessible to us, we're inundated with a lot of information. And not only that, a lot of really great things happening in the world.
Yeah.
You know, the world's highest singer, the world's lowest singer,
yeah.
the world's fastest dancer, the
right.
world's fastest runner. And this,
right.
and there's so many extremes that now it just, I think it hinders us a little bit because we don't even know how to appreciate our own simple
talents.
Worth and
yeah.
talents.
Mm-hmm.
And you get constantly, you're in like a competition of like, I got to be better than them. I got to be this. And,
yeah.
and it's like, well, you know what? I hear you and that's great, but like, what can you do?
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
And how committed to what you can do is that, you know?
Well,
and,
also
and like, if I
remember,
saw a person come in and wanted like show me their talent, I would want less of them to try to impress me with how they can outdo someone else's work versus
just
you're just being
you.
Who you're doing, yeah. giving me you.
Right.
Give me you. But you just have to find that authenticity.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't come overnight.
Right.
You know, it's got to be something you work on, and it never ends.
Right.
It doesn't just end and you're just like, I found it, and
right.
it is, this is it. It can evolve and it can change, and you have to sort of change with that. So, you know, with Gomi and working on the music we worked on, it was, okay, we've released a song. It's out. I have something that I'm starting this new journey. Now we have to like continue the journey.
Well, this is what that thought was. When you, this is another struggle we have. You know, we've been performing now for 7 years. And so we have a catalog of music that's like performance stuff that we do that's like stellar, whether it's bits and jokes
mm-hmm.
or music that's just like
catalog, yeah.
stellar, right?
And we love
So now
those
it's really
bits.
Hard to introduce new stuff and have it be... We're workshopping it. You know what I mean? Like, it's really hard to find stuff
yeah.
that holds up because, you know, in the course of the 7 years, we've worked on hundreds of, well, let's just pick music, numbers, right? And some of them fall off the wagon because they're not on par with the rest.
Yeah.
And now that we recognize what the top of what we do is, it's really hard to introduce new stuff.
Introduce new stuff.
You know, and especially since we talk about this a lot on here. Where everyone and their mother is doing drag now. And
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you ever envision a time where this would be this point in time where drag is so elusive, it's so incorporated into society,
so mainstream.
That it's so mainstream.
Yeah.
And while I feel like it's a beautiful thing, it's something that I don't think a lot of people prepared for. Like
yeah.
I witnessed a time where doing drag was obscure and doing drag
right.
was like a niche market. And it was
right.
something that was like, it was cool in a way that was not cool for everyone.
Right.
It was cool.
Saturated.
Like we're different. Yeah. We have a drag performer coming to our party tonight.
Right.
Now it's like a necessity.
Right.
Have a drag queen, you know, come
right.
in and do something for a party for it to be relevant.
And it's oversaturated
well,
now. There's
well,
so
that's
much
the problem that we're having, you know, and we want to make sure that our material, what we're doing really sets us apart because for us, it's really about the content, you know, and really keeping it at a level of professionalism where people are like, oh, okay, these aren't just drag queens. Oh, these are professional girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because there's so many people that do drag and some of them don't do it as a profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, not to say that if you're not, it's not your profession that you're not professional, but there's a lot of performers, and I'm sure you've seen this even out of drag, that get up there and do their thing and it's like, is this a joke? You know, and it's like, girl, do your homework. Like, come on. But what I want to talk to you about was when you do like a huge video or a huge, you produce a huge song, like you were talking about in the right environment with the right people in the right studio, how do you then keep the ball in the air, for lack of a better phrase or word or language?
I think for me, it's about knowing what I deserve and knowing what I'm capable of doing, and knowing the level at which, you know, I was just talking to a friend today about this. It's like, you know, I've worked very hard over my lifetime on my art and being a performer and entertainer. And I want to bring to people the best entertainment. And it's an escape, and it's a positive escape that makes them feel good about themselves. And so, you know, when I'm in like that place of working with really good people, I have really good cameras, I have a really good, like, you know, space to be in or whatever. It literally is just, you have to be in that moment and in that time, like, this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
For me, when it's not that level and it's a smaller level, it's like, you know, this is kind of happening, and I've kind of got to roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I can't really be a prima donna about it, because we all in life are consistently paying our dues.
Right.
So, you know, whether you're making lots of money and you are a certain name level, whatever, the stakes are, they change.
Right.
Because if you were Beyonce, the stakes are not the same for me, because I'm not Beyonce.
Right.
But Beyonce has her own set of things that she has to go up against.
Right.
Which is her own catalog of music and her own fan base,
right,
and how what people expect from her. I mean, and then I think, you know, at that level for someone like her, you know much more about how to work people's, you know, energy,
right,
because, you know, they love the way you dance or sing or move,
yeah,
the visuals, and you play on stuff that you know will trigger them. You know, it's a little bit of a calculation. And like, I think that's also something I love, is like the calculation of pop music. People don't realize how, they do, they know it's calculated, but they don't really realize how much of it is thought out.
Yeah.
And like, it's about making you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And yes, it's about that effort. So like, for example, one of the biggest videos I've ever shot is my Masters of the Universe video.
Which I love.
Which maybe we'll play that song.
Yes,
yes,
we will.
But for
Wait, can we play it now?
Let's play it.
And then you can talk about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
This is Mila Jam, Master of the Universe.
I have the power. I love you like I love no other, high above the stars. But if you don't accept my offer, I'm gonna look away and walk through. Don't need to wait around to get you to give me the word. Tonight.
so fabulous. And the music video, please, guys, go check it out because, like you said, it's like, I mean, you can tell that it, I mean, it's, I mean, it looks like a music video you'd see on MTV.
Hello.
And
hey, MTV.
Hello.
Play it.
And what's so great about that is I think that so many people nowadays, like for me, I've always been like, okay, if I can't afford to shoot a video that looks like it can be on MTV, let's shoot a black and white video that looks like it was meant to be shot in black and white.
Hello.
Like being smart,
be clean and precise, and be effective with what you can be effective
yes.
with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you know we can try to achieve to make something that will fall short of this expectation, and you don't want to trap yourself in that. So, like I honestly say, if you can't really execute something in your best way possible, don't do it. I mean, you know, if you feel like there's a way that this can be better or I can really make this happen in a much cooler way, you know what? I don't see anything wrong with taking time to do that. And that's kind of where I am with music and what I do as a professional artist is like letting it speak to me and let my art unfold the way it's supposed to because I want it to be right. And I want it to be something I stand behind because when it's done, you know, people will have their opinion. They might like it or they might hate it, but at least I can say I was convicted in what I was doing and
right.
I put my
proud
effort
of
and proud of it.
Yep.
Yeah. So like with the Masters of the Universe music
video,
it was just an amazing labor of love with my family, which is the Jam Fam, my team.
Mm-hmm.
The Jam Fam kind of came together with one of my best friends, Jared Stanfield.
Who we know and love. So that handsome.
My
so
heart.
Cute.
I love him.
So I know. You
and
see
I love
always
watching you guys on Instagram.
I would be fight on social media.
I love it.
But he came to me one day and said, Mila, I think that what we need to do for you is like have, you know, you need to have like a troop, a crew.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have me and you have these other guys that we know that are your friends, you know, regardless of me. And so that's the cool thing about the Jam Fam, what that is it's an embodiment of a bunch of artists that came together to help me and I get started the idea of it, but we're also a real family. We are best friends and we do everything together. And we really just take, we're really invested in each other. It's not just for show.
Dream a dive by light of day. Gonna hold our path.
holds your dream away. Under this pressure, under this weight, we are diamonds taking shape. We are diamonds taking shape.
Time for another episode of The Real Housewives of Queens, starring the gorgeous, beautiful, one-time JCPenney model, Anita M. Buffum. And the other one, Gina Marie Ritali. Join us now as Gina Marie has just been called into Trisha's office, who's the head of HR down at Aphrodite.
Hi, Gina Marie. Have a seat.
Hi.
Honey.
How's everything, honey?
Good. You know, I just donned them here. Excuse me, I'm eating lunch.
Oh, okay.
I'm eating my lunch because I'm...
Oh, is it with that smell?
I'm working overtime. I just warmed up some soup in the microwave.
Oh. What's that?
These are my pita chips.
Oh.
Listen, I called Jim here today because I had a conversation with the weird alien.
Oh, did you?
And she brought to my attention about how you've asked for a date off in December.
Well, I mean, it's not really a date off. It's just having a problem with, you know, attending the party for the full amount of time.
Listen, you know, I'm new here, and I'm really trying to stick to all the rules and regulations. And, you know, George Papadopoulos has really asked me to come in here and really start enforcing some of the rules from the handbooks.
Do you need a napkin, honey?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
So listen, unfortunately here, I'm looking at your calendar and your previous schedules, and you've asked for much too much time off.
Time off? I never take time off.
Yeah, but you've asked for it.
Well, I mean,
you're only allowed to ask for so much here.
Yeah, but this isn't time off that I've asked for. These were occurrences in my everyday life that just came up, you know, spur of the moment. I mean, these are just things that had to happen. I had to run to the hospital one day, and my husband had to have some surgery done, and then my daughter, you know, had some problems that we had to take care of.
But listen here, I'm just trying to let you know that this could really affect your employment here down at Aphrodite. And so, I don't want to hear this go to George Papadopoulos because he's so busy running everything else, you know?
Yeah, but Trisha, you're brand new at this all, and honey, you know, I've been with George Papadopoulos for many, many, many years, and I believe if you did talk to George Papadopoulos, you're right there.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I think that if you brought this to George Papadopoulos' attention, I think that he would be willing to possibly listen to what I'm capable of doing for that date.
Listen, I really appreciate your passion and your concern. And I'm just trying to follow the rule books here, Gina Marie. And this, you know, I'm working overtime here. I'm working during my lunch to try and get this all sorted out. So I just really need you to work with me here. If there's any way you can reschedule whatever it is here's going on, I just don't think that we can approve this day off from the holiday party.
Well, and I understand that there's an issue. You know, I'm the one who always puts together this whole shindig every year, you know, for the holiday time. And I'm the one that does all the food and preparations. Mm. Oh, all right. You got something on your
Did I?
Yeah, there's a little something on you.
Excuse me.
All right, yeah, you got it. I think you got it. Okay, all right there. Oh, no, it's still hanging there.
Oh,
you got it?
No.
All right, okay. Well, okay, so listen. So I'm the one that always puts together this whole soiree. You know, I can still do all the preparations. I just cannot be there for the actual party.
Listen, excuse me. I really didn't want to have to go down this route. It's making me very upset here.
Oh. Upset.
You're making me very upset here, Jimmy.
Well, I don't want to make you upset, Trisha.
I asked you to come in here. I'm a lunch here so we could discuss this. And I've been working a lot of overtime.
You've been working overtime.
And it's your responsibility to put on this annual holiday party.
Yeah, I'm not...
George Papadopoulos has told me that you've thrown this party for the last 25 years.
Of course I have.
He's not comfortable with anybody else throwing this party.
Well, of course not. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to throw the party. All I'm saying is that I can get everything set up and maybe some other people, maybe you, Trisha, could take an initiative.
And all I'm saying, Jean Marie, is that if you're not at this party for the requested number of times, I cannot promise that the rule book will not be thrown at you.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You got a little, yeah. Can I borrow that napkin, actually? I need it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So what are you trying to tell me, Trisha? That I can't have off on December 12th? That I can't set up everything for this party and then just not be there during it and have other people do the work? I've put my blood, sweat, and tears into this place, honey, and my name ain't on the sign.
I would really appreciate it if you could change your tone. I don't know, you can't understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Oh, you don't like my tone.
Listen to me. I think I've made it very clear here, Gina Marie. That if you are not at this holiday party, I cannot promise that George Papadopoulos will not terminate your employment here with the Aphrodite Corporation.
Well, this is ridiculous. I mean, I might go to George Papadopoulos myself. I mean,
George Papadopoulos has assured me that he wants me to work very hard at bringing in some new blood into this corporation so that the old blood steps it up a little bit.
Well, I'm sure he wasn't talking about me, Trisha. I mean, I've been here for over 25 years, and me and George Papadopoulos are like...
I don't know exactly what he was talking about, but Gina Marie, I cannot give you that day off.
Oh.
Thank you, and good day.
Oh.
There's the door.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, good...
And good day to you.
Oh, good day to you, too, Trisha. And wipe your mouth.
And shut the door on the way out.
Well, don't you have, please forgive me because this I missed, but it wasn't, isn't there like a web-based like reality
show? We have,
yes.
So I will tell you about the web show. But the way that Master's Video happened was we came together and the boys of the Jam Fam all were like, we want to focus in on you and getting this product out for you. So we did a little bit of a campaign.
We did a
little Indiegogo campaign. And we just really put in more effort than I'd ever put into a project before to just take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And so when we did that, we spent night and day. And, you know, that's where the work comes in. It's like, you really focus in on it so much that that's all you're doing. And then like you get on set and we're just like, we thought of this. We didn't think of
who
this.
Who did your choreography for that?
The boys of, actually, myself.
Yeah, I was going to ask you who did the choreography, yeah.
Myself and Julius Rubio.
Uh-huh. Who else?
And Kellen Stansel.
Okay.
Those are two of the, those are my two choreographers. The director is actually a very big dance legend in the theater community and beyond. Brian Thomas.
Well, I'm not familiar.
BT Dance.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you should look him up.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Amazing.
And do you, how involved in those process and editing and all that stuff in making your music videos are you?
Highly.
Uh-huh.
What I do is I usually every step of the process I'm a part of as much as I can be.
Well, and don't you think as an artist you should be?
I do think so.
Yes.
Yes.
Because
I'm
not
but I also
you.
Feel like. In pop music, which I do appreciate.
Me too.
There are a lot of false advertisements with like, I was up, all night, working on working on the fabrics of the dancers' costumes and
right.
making sure that they had gold and not,
right.
green. And like some people, I believe that not everyone I believe does that.
Right.
But like for me at this point in my career, I have to do that because
right.
That's what I did with all of my videos and my parodies beforehand.
Right.
Every single video that I produced from my parodies was from down to like what take you saw to the edits. I actually hand edited most of those. I actually hand edited most of all of those videos.
You know, we're working on, we have some potential things in the work that I'm really excited about, but I get so nervous about the fact that it may entail somebody else editing our
stuff. Right, so then this is where we have to learn how to get control.
Yeah.
And that's another topic. But I will say, like, for the master's video, it was a lot of meetings where I was very clear on, with the Jam fam, what I wanted and what I didn't want. And then they would suggest things and say, well, what if you tried this? And I was like, no, I don't like that. Or I love that idea. And I didn't have, I wasn't in the editing room for that video. That was the only thing I didn't do. But it was very much like, we got some rough drafts. Show,
look,
you know,
yeah.
What do you think of this one? What do you think of this one?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger you get and the more that you, your brand grows, you have to sort of relinquish control until you can be controlling.
Right.
You know, until you're at the level where you're like, I don't want that and I'm not going to have that.
Right.
But, you know, to some degree, when you're working with people who are professionals,
right,
and they know what they're doing,
right,
you have to be able to trust them. And you have,
right,
to be like, you know what, you're hired for a reason, so
right,
I can't just, you know, I don't want to be negative to you.
Let
I
it be a collaborative
it's a,
effort.
It's a, we're in a, yeah, relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is a child. This is a baby.
Right.
So we came together on a lot of those things. I thought that I just wanted to capitalize on the fact that we could put something together that was not only unique and different, but that was visually stimulating and kind of, you know, mysterious and kind of just like with the song, you know, Masters of the Universe just represents like really
that.
Owning yourself and owning who you are.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I wanted to do in all those elements. And like, one of my favorite moments in the video is the Storm look, where I basically look like Storm, but I,
uh-huh,
have this white hair and this like this amazing piece by this New York City designer named Vaughn. It's just like, you know, something I never done before.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, this is the level that it needs to be at this moment in time.
I love it.
And I'm just going from there, you know, and I promise to like put my best foot forward in to anything that I do. But, you know, I only hope to work with bigger and better people.
Well, you're working on some special stuff right now, right? Is there,
mm-hmm,
a web series or YouTube series?
Okay, well,
series?
So the web series. There is a web series. It's
the
Jam
Fam web
series.
Which I did see a little bit. I didn't catch like,
uh-huh,
the full, like, what.
So
what,
we didn't actually. So it was a pilot project.
Oh, I
and
see.
And what we did was we went and fleshed it all out and we shot these episodes. And we were committed to making it a real, like, a thing.
Yeah.
But sort of as it happens in this business, you know, things don't always go the mile, extra mile. They don't always go where you think they're going to go.
Right.
So we kind of capped it and it didn't really, we kind of ended the web series. I like to think it's on a hiatus.
Uh-huh.
It's on a,
you could, I mean, with the way that you work on projects with the Jam Fam or the way that you even just work on your projects as they are,
yeah,
if you have, I mean, even just a camera in the room,
yeah,
you'd be able to edit an exciting, fun webisode. I mean, so, you're a fun personality. It's interesting to watch people working on their art, especially this type of art where, like you're saying, you have to be somewhat controlling and you have to be able to choose what you want and explain why you want it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something interesting about that.
Yeah. So we have, you can go online if you just go to YouTube and search The Jam Fam, all one word, is it welcome to the, I'll send you the link. Meet the Jam Fam. That's
Meet
what it
the
is.
Jam
Meet
Fam.
The Jam Fam. But so now the other thing is like with the group, we are not like the Spice Girls. We're not like a contracted, like,
I love the
you
Spice
know,
Girls.
I love the Spice Girls too, but we're not like the Spice Girls where it's like, you know, if you're getting me, you're only going to get like the Jam Fam.
Right.
It's like they kind of come and go. So
right,
there will be many times where like they may not be involved in something.
Right.
You know, and I like to think of it as Janelle Monáe with her group, the Wonderland Society.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's very much like the Wonderland Society with Janelle Monáe. It's like my crew,
right,
is like the Jam Fam. And
yeah,
honestly, that sort of extends
whoever you're
itself.
Working with is
who
the
I'm
Jam
working
Fam.
With, yeah. New dancers,
yeah,
that come in, new singers I work with, new writers.
Yeah.
People that are in my circle, they're part of, they become part of my family. So
do you ever find when you're working with somebody that they ever find that they have some sort of ownership over something? Like, do you ever, I mean, where you have to be like, girl, no. I had a choreographer before you, and I'm going to have a choreographer after you. Do you ever have that kind
honestly,
of thing?
Honestly, I don't think I've really encountered it that way. I think most everyone that I've ever worked with came in with a level of respect that was like, I really enjoy what you do and I want you to enjoy what I do. And it's not about me one-upping you.
Right.
The one-uppingness doesn't really happen, I think, enough for me to be like this specific incident.
Right.
But, you know, I'm also open to some degree to like hearing, you know, other thoughts. And then like, if I know exactly what I want, I'm just very vocal about it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, this is the look that I want. This is the thing that I want.
So you've never had an incident where you had to put somebody in check?
Never really had to put someone in check.
That's good.
Now, the Jam Fam has at times felt like they needed to put me in check. And so they've had maybe a little more leeway than other people because, you know, there's a trust there for them. And I always say to them, you guys, I love you guys so much. Just be honest with me.
Right.
It's, you know, you got to be honest with the people that you love.
Right.
And, you know, be real to me in my face and talk good about me behind my back.
Like, there's a chance I may have been in that situation myself.
Yeah. So yeah. And that's kind of how it is.
Yeah. Well, so what are you working on now? What can we...
So now, at this moment in time, I just shot a series that's going to be coming out in the fall. It's a YouTube network TV show. It's like a talk show about LGBTQI issues. It's from a gentleman named Nathan Mansky. He started an LGBTQI archive called I'm From Driftwood. I'm From Driftwood. You can look it up online on YouTube. There's tons of individual coming out stories where individuals just basically tell their experience in life, when they came out, what prompted them to come out or whatever. And he had he asked me to be one of the hosts.
That's
for the
awesome.
Show. And the show is just myself and another girl. Her name is Femi Redwood. She's an amazing journalist. But she and I are basically co-hosting this show together, kind of like Kathy and Hoda.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we talk about social issues.
Are you the Kathy or are you the Hoda?
I'm probably the Hoda.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I think Hoda's a lot of fun. I enjoy Hoda.
I love
Hoda.
Them both.
She's so
they're
cute
great.
To me.
Yeah.
But like, I think what we do is like we watch a video of someone's story and we kind of break it down and analyze like, excuse me, what they went through and how does that pertain to us in life and other people watching and how to give a little bit of advice of like, you know, if you need to get help, if you need to come out of the closet, if you're feeling suicidal or whatever. And then we have guests come in and speak, experts come in and speak on the topic. Mm-hmm. So we shot that. That's coming out in the fall, I think later in September.
Mm-hmm. That's so exciting that YouTube is doing that.
Yeah, so and we actually shot it at the YouTube space.
How is the YouTube space?
Oh,
so cool.
So
much fun. It's so cool. It's so cool. But the way you can find it is if you just, it's at I'm From Driftwood TV.
Okay.
Or you can go to imfromdriftwoodtv.org.
Okay.
I believe it's org. But you could just Google it as well. And so that's one thing that I've been working on.
What about music?
Music is... a constant project, and it's a constant work. It's just
you're always working.
I'm working on it. It's not there yet.
Okay,
I will just say that. But the stuff that I have that I've been working on, I'm really excited about.
Awesome.
I'm just excited because I feel like now I'm in a place where I can not only put out something that's a little bit more unique in general, but like something that I'm a little more behind in terms of like, this is really like all I've been focusing my energy on and new people that I've been working with. I'm actually not working with Gomi on this project. So it's like new
will
producers.
Will it be through his label though?
And it won't be through his label.
Okay.
It will be through a totally different label. I'm mixing some things up. Mm-hmm. So I'm mixing things up. I have some new sounds and some new things that I'm playing with because I do believe, you know, even when you find what works for you, you know, as an artist, I think it's okay to switch it up. It's okay to have some new sounds and some different sounds.
Reinventing yourself.
It's about what you're feeling in that moment and in that space and like what I've been feeling over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I love, love, love that I find good pop artists do is they're able to use their voice as an instrument to sound right for the music. So rather than I have to sound like this
I'm
all the time.
I got that.
But oh my, it was like
it's
the whisper
a very big
and the
thing
husky
for me. Yeah.
And I love that it's like Have you heard Dumb Blonde?
I'm so into Dumb Blonde.
How amazing is that EP?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Shout out to my girl Aubrey Day. I don't know if you remember me, but
she's
hey girl.
Aubrey O'Day is my spirit animal. And I just love that their voices on it aren't like we're divas and how listen to our
it's
huge
not about
voices.
Like, yeah.
No, it is about the cohesive sound and their voices are just part
it's
of
about
the
music. Instrumentation of like being in the project.
I love it. I played them before on the podcast, but go check out Dumb Blonde without the second B. D-U-M-B. Yeah. Okay. So hot topics real quick. I know you're on the run. But so Target. Now, by the time people are listening to this, it's going to be Target. By the time people listen to this, because we're a few weeks behind, it'll be old news. But, so Target, Mila says she hasn't heard this, Target is doing away with all gender-specific signage. So in the toys department, it won't say boys' toys, it won't say
girls' toys.
In the clothing department, it won't say boy clothes or girl clothes. And above and beyond that, they're removing all pink and blue on the shelves, the back of the walls will be like in pink wallpaper or whatever. They're removing all of that. And it's going to be gender neutral colors.
All the signage and all that.
All the signage. Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So people are in an uproar over this and, are saying stupid things that you can imagine stupid people would say. But I just think it's such a cool thing.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm actually sort of moved emotionally because I think I heard a little bit about it, but I didn't know the extent to which they were going to go with this. Yeah. What it says to me is that, in order for us to get somewhere and to get into a better place, as a society or as a person, you have to have change. And the change that needs to come with, let's get to the root of the situation. Because we've sort of been guided along this ride as, it is a binary system. There's boy, there's girl, there's black, there's white. Mm-hmm. And that's not really the truth for life for everybody and for the majority of people.
Yeah, no,
it's a gray area.
Yeah, there's a big gray area that a lot of people who live by the binary are even in and don't want to get out of. So it's a comfort zone.
Right.
I like that it's shaking things up because, this is going to be something totally different for kids who are, 30 years from now to 50 years from now when like it's like having segregation at one point in time and like integrating things.
Right.
Those kids in the future in 30 years, they're never going to be questioning why I had
what's
this
okay
toy.
To play
yeah,
with
if
or
I
not
had a boy
okay
toy
to
or a girl
play
toy
with
or
a doll or not.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome. But I don't think that's cool just because it's that's what we should do. Like, I like to think it's cool because it gives people, it gives children a way to start to, figure out and identify for themselves what they want in their lives and who they are.
Well,
because we were just talking to another friend about this.
Yeah.
We are never really allowed to follow our path of authenticity and truth. We're told who we are until a certain age where you kind of get pushed off or shifted off and you can go, wait a minute, I'm not. And unless you do the work, you don't even say to yourself, well, that's not who I really am. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we go through life living as the people that we were told we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you get to you're 60.
Right.
And you're like, this is who I am.
Right.
And then people are like, whoa, why did you wait so long? And it's different for everyone.
Right.
And it's like, if, I had the access to just be, accepted for who I was at a younger age, I would have done that. But, you're not always you don't have that accessibility.
Yeah. I think breaking it down to just the most simple, it's when I was young, I was raised by my mom who was you play with what you want to play with.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And I played with Barbies, but I also played with He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I had Hot Wheels. And
yeah.
I also had Gem and the Holograms.
But I think we do need to focus on the people we're raising and who they are on the inside, not what their gender is or what their sexuality is.
But to me, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
No.
As children, yes, there are some young kids that we hear about now that are trans.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most kids, their brains aren't developed to think of themselves other than just I'm a being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
gender fluid. It's almost doesn't.
Yeah. And it's so upsetting to me that people are getting so upset about signage.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking away the boys' toys. They're not taking away the girls' toys. If you still want to make your little gay boy who wants to play with Barbies, play with G.I. Joe,
yeah, but
you
that
can still do that.
But that's also because of the blinders of society. And
yeah.
When you're in a blinder situation, you only see it in one way, and you can't step outside of that. You know, it's like a director who's directing a play. If he has it in his mind, like, it's like the only way that I want her to enter the scene, and the only way I want her to talk to this guy and to say these lines, and that's what they do. It's just they do that, but there's no room for growth. Maybe if we reword the way she says it this way, maybe if she entered from a different place, you can actually find something that will work a little bit better or make things feel a little more authentic and exciting. You know, it's the same thing with my writing. It's like, I mean, you can only imagine how many times the songs that we love that we hear on the radio were rewritten.
Right.
You know, how many times, you know, one of my favorite songs is Crazy in Love. I'll just be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if Beyonce really wrote that, great. If not, I wouldn't be surprised. But what I will say is this, you know, what the first incarnation of that song was probably not Crazy in Love.
Right.
You know, how many times was it rewritten until it got to what it was and what they thought they wanted it to be.
Right.
So, like, that's the work that we have to do, and the work that we have to do with Target and our kids and their toys is that, you know what? There's more to it than just being like, let's stop separating each other. Let's come together and let people be who they're supposed to be so that we will, you know, eliminate all this friction we have in our society.
Right.
That's, like, part of the thing.
And real quick, will you be voting for Trump?
Actually, I have really thought about voting for Trump. No, I haven't.
You know, I love The Apprentice. I will watch him on that all day long.
Yeah.
But, I don't even want to, that's
we
it.
We don't even need to go
Mila
into
Jam,
it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're so
You're
welcome.
Always a ray of sunshine.
It was so wonderful to have you here.
Yeah.
I really adore you guys. You're so wonderful. Thank you for having me as a guest.
And we want to have you back because,
yes.
I'm sure people who do know you and do follow you are probably like, why are they not talking about it? But I want to have you back to talk about trans issues.
Sure.
And yeah. I Am Kate. And have you seen I Am Jazz?
Jazz, I love Jazz.
Yes.
I'm so moved by that show.
Jazz Hands.
So, yes, I'm so moved by
that. We'll talk about that
so
next time she's on.
I want you to come back. Maybe when your show comes out on YouTube, we can have you back and talk about your show.
Sure.
And trans issues because
for sure.
To me it's a non-issue, but I think it's a good topic to talk about and
discuss.
That.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us. We're going to leave you with another Mila Jam track.
But wait, before you do, don't forget, please follow me on.
Oh yes,
Instagram.
I'm sorry, this is my fault for being a bad host.
Where can people find you? Where can
you find me on primarily these days on Instagram at the Mila Jam. There's one and only the Mila Jam. And always remember out there, hashtag spread jam, not hate.
Oh,
yes,
I love
girl.
That. You need a t-shirt.
I'm working on it.
Oh, yes, girl.
Yes, we're accepting funds now. Just go to themilajam.com and message me.
Thank you so much, Mila Jam.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Hi guys, DJ Anita B here. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I want to remind you that if you're in the New York City area, Saturday, December 12th, down at the Duplex in the West Village, we've got our 8th annual Holiday Spectacular on Ice happening. You can get tickets now at housemimosa.com. That's H-A-U-S of Mimosa, M-I-M-O-S-A.com. House of Mimosa, the podcast, is brought to you by dragqueenmerch.com. That's dragqueenmerch.com. For all your official House of Mimosa and DJ Anita B merchandise, we've got t-shirts, tanks, phone covers, iPad covers, and more. Visit dragqueenmerch.com. Of course, we're also brought to you by audible.com. Visit audibletrial.com/HOM podcast. That's audibletrial.com/HOM podcast for a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook of your choice. House of Mimosa, the podcast, is produced and edited by Travis Barr. Guest segments produced by Steven and Camisia, with music curated by me, DJ Anita B. Music in this episode included Watch Me with Nene by Salento, Adventure of a Lifetime by Coldplay, the new disco remix of Adele's Hello, and the tracks Walk and Masters of the Universe by our special guest, Mila Jam, all available on iTunes. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast by searching House of Mimosa in iTunes and click subscribe. Want to see us? Subscribe to our YouTube channels, Sunday Morning Mimosa and Buffum Beautiful. For more on DJ Anita B and to book us, the House of Mimosa, live for your next event, visit thehouseofmimosa.com. Now do me a favor and take a second to share this podcast with a friend. It's the least you could do after all I've done for you.
Hello, hello, it's me. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before we both fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million. About myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will.